Hi, this is Tiffany. Welcome to the 12 Days of Tomfoolery. This is day/part 2 of our 12 Days of Christmas shenanigans. Say hi to the people, yes. Kate.
Hi. Hi, people. How are ya? So we're super excited to be back for day 2 of Christmas joy. Continuing the pattern in our little Tiff, Kate, Tiff sandwich. Today we are moving into broad themes of the second house in Taurus. Second house is all about value, kind of material things, what we own, how we value ourselves. And also Taurus is a sign that is very abundant. It's kind of the seed planter. It's associated with agriculture as well, kind of because farms create food, which creates abundance. And Tauruses love their food. They're big into food. They're big into textures and feeding others, feeding themselves, kind of luxurious things. Taurus is also a very sensual sign. Not so much like it can be sexual, but like sensual, like very like into tactile things. And there is something coming in my part that is quite sensual. So we'll get to it. I'm so excited. But we're going to start off with very, very, not spicy, sensual. But Tiff, take us away with your, I don't know why I'm calling you Tiff, like you're like a barbershop girl. Hey, Tiff.
Probably because I always sign off like Tiff when I do the Facebook post.
Yeah. That's true. Okay. All right. Well, Tiff, take it away.
Okay. We're going to talk about La Befana, a little Italian culture. So I took this article straight from the horse's mouth. I got it sent to me by my godmother. She goes, hey, this is for your Xmas show. And I was like, oh, thank you. And then yeah, I read it. And I was like, oh, actually, I love this. Thank you so much.
No, oh my God, I love it. You have a little research assistant. Yeah, it's adorable.
I do. No, I thought that was super cute. So I'm just going to jump right in. So I'm going to take this from the Travel Tuscany article. So it'll be kind of like a first person POV. So I am not Italian. My POV will be because I'm reading this off part of an article. Here we go. So La Befana is the festivity of Christmas time in Italy. And we celebrate it every 6th of January. It's Italian.
Yeah, Italia. Little gabagool. Little capcomats. Yeah.
That's Jersey. No one's going to listen to us in Italy now. But
I know, right? Italy is signed out of the chat.
They're like, logging off. But okay, yeah. So according to the Christian tradition.
I don't like it.
Oh, no.
I know. No, I'm digging the grave even deeper.
I'm just going to go ahead and formally apologize for this intro. Yeah. Just stick around a little longer. And then if you hate us on our own merit, it's fine. But we just got a little too silly with it. Okay, so according to the Christian tradition, on the day of Epiphany, the three biblical magi meet the baby Jesus. In Italian Christmas folklore, we are also celebrating the coming of La Befana. She is represented by an old woman that rides a broomstick through the air, delivering sweets and candies to the good children. But she also brings coal, garlic, and onion to the rascals. I know.
Hey, you can make a
straight away
lasagna from that.
Put the coal, I was like, okay, garlic. Those are some legit ingredients. Yeah. Even if you're bad, it's like, oh, that's not so bad.
Yeah.
So,
and you got the coal to stoke the, you know.
Yeah. You got everything you need. Mm-hmm. So the name Befana probably derives from Epiphania in Italy. The word has Greek origins and means a manifestation of divinity. The Epiphany is the last festivity of the Christmas time. So for this very reason, we usually say, and this is in Italian, so sorry, just straight away. Epiphania. Tutte le feste si porta via. So I'm so sorry. I know that probably sounded horrendous. If you're Italian, just we're the worst.
If you're Italian, Epiphany, if they're Italian, they've already signed off after my decimation of their culture. So don't worry about it.
If by a pure accident you stuck around, I'm still really sorry.
Yeah.
So that translates to Epiphany takes all the festivities away. So we can trace back the origins of Labafania to pre-Christian. It was in the 10th through the 6th centuries BC. And at that time, people celebrated with a pagan proprietary rituals, the end of the year's harvest and the beginning of the new season and the agricultural calendar. The ancient Romans inherited these rituals to celebrate the 12 days after the winter solstice, Sol Invictus, anniversary, which ended the calendar year. So on the 12th night after the winter solstice, they officiated Earth Mother passing away, set off the death and rebirth of nature. During those nights, the Romans believed that the unknown female figures flying over the cultivated fields would ensure excellent results for future crops. Similarly to these mythological figures, the Bafana also flies. So La Bafana is actually an old, ugly woman because she represents the end of the year. In fact, one of her symbols is her broom. So she uses it to sweep all the past things away and prepare clean space for the new ones, which that in and of itself has a lot of like basis in pagan and Wiccan tradition as well. But back to the article. According to the Tuscan custom, the act of burning the Bafana doll at the end of the year is what it symbolizes. So it was the end of the year. They just did that. And then the remaining coal was placed in the children's socks along with candies as a reminder of the past year. So, I know, super cute. So she's an her visage, she looks like an older lady with like an aquiline nose and some rotten and crooked teeth. I think they do her a little dirty because she's actually pretty cool, but it's so cute because like women dress up as her. They have these little festivals. Like I looked up a bunch of different stuff. It was super adorable. I was like, wow, this looks really fun.
It does. So, I mean, it sounds fun.
Yeah. I mean, they did her dirty. This is like those old portrayals of witches in like media, cartoons, wherever you see it, like even in American culture. She has warts, moles, you know, crooked, weird teeth, like little matted,
she's the before
type
picture.
Hair. Yeah.
She's the before.
I'm just like upset for her. I was like, kind of rude. And she wears an old black
shawl.
You know
what? She sounds like a badass bitch. Like, I don't think she cares. I think, you know, she's probably like, yeah, I got my moles. I got my, who cares? I got my sweets and treats.
There's a sad part coming in a little bit. So I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
For her. So she wears an old black shawl and it's covered in a layer of soot because she enters children's homes through the chimney. On the night of January 5th, she goes around carrying a big hamper of sack full of candies and gifts for the kids. And at home, the children hang their stockings on the mantle or shoes out of the window so that La Bafana could fill them with presents. And they have like little songs they sing about her and stuff. It's pretty cute. According to Christian legend, the three wise men met Bafana on their way to Bethlehem to honor the Son of God. They told the elderly lady that they were following a comet star in the sky and they asked for more information, but she was completely uninvolved in the matter. Anyway, she provided them shelter for the night and she was considered the best housekeeper in the village with the warmest house. So excellent reviews on TripAdvisor. She's nailing it.
Yeah.
Instead of the Magi, five stars. The Magi invited her to join them on their trip to honor the baby Jesus, but she declined because she was busy with her chores. After they left, she regretted it and ran out into the night to look for them and Jesus, and obviously didn't find them. But to make sure giving presents to the right baby, she left something for each child. So from then on, she spends the night of January 5th bringing presents to all the children of Italy. Another Christian legend says that Bafana was an ordinary woman with a son, and this is the sad part, and she loved him dearly, but he unfortunately died naturally. Aww. It's just sad. And she was full of, obviously, sorrow and pain. But after a few days, having heard of the birth of the baby Jesus, she decided to visit and honor him by bringing her baby's clothes as a gift. So, yeah. Aww. Jesus, noticing the pain of her loss, I don't know how that makes sense because he was a baby, but okay, gave her a gift in return. I'm just reading the article. She was to be the mother of all babies.
And,
no. She was to be the mother of all the babies in Italy.
That's so adorable.
I thought that was really cute. So there's a few different things they do. They have different festivals for her. They have little Bafana cookies, and then like special candies or caramels that they do. There's a lot of really cute stuff. And there's a ton of fun pictures online about it. But I thought that was a fun little tradition for our poor Italian friends. Again, so sorry about that intro.
I make fun of everybody. Come on, I'm Irish. I make fun of the Irish more than anybody. It's not Italian so much as it is the New Jersey Italians. Italia, you know, the Yay, yay. I love that I'm just doubling. I'm just doubling down on it. I'm like, hey, sorry about that. Let me just do it again.
I tried valiantly. Anyway, moving on.
I know. I love Italy. Italy is, I've been there twice and I absolutely adore it.
I would die. Yeah. I cannot wait. I will go soon. Yeah. Someday.
And both times were work trips. So I went for free and it was really awesome. It was really great. But I really want to go on my own time too.
Yeah.
Explore. Yeah, it's great. I do. Italy is a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful country and great food. Oh my God, the food. I gained on my first work trip there. I gained 9.5 pounds in 7 days. Nine and a half.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. And they were real. You know, they were real pounds.
Oh, real pounds.
Well, you know how sometimes you're like, but you know, sometimes like you like drink a lot or you get right. back, you're a little bloated. No, right. these were like 9 solid pounds that it took me 6 weeks to get off. It did.
You gotta give them some credit. Like their normal diet, I'm sure, isn't like that, but you're there on a vacation, especially a work trip. You're getting all of the delicious, calorically dense treats of a lifetime.
And so, we were going to.
Worth it.
Oh my God. And we were drinking all day and we were going to like these amazing restaurants, and I'll keep this short, but one of my favorite visits was at, oh my God, I can't remember the name of the winery now. Well, I can come back and say it. I'm not going to pontificate over it for too long, but it was this little like cantina, winery in Barbaresco, and the owner, oh my God, she's the most precious woman. Like she took it over from her dad and she gave us these t-shirts that were like, I do it for my papa. Like she's so fucking cute.
Aww.
But we got there and she like speaks English, but it was kind of, you could understand, but very broken. But we got there at like 8 a.m. It was pouring rain. We're all like kind of hungover.
Okay.
And she has hung on the cantina a big American flag, and in like sparkly, she got these sparkly letters that were like, welcome Massanoy. And then we went in and she was like, I just made like a nice, like tiny breakfast for you. And it was like 18 different kinds of cured beets, 10 different kinds of cheeses, 3 different kinds of cakes, pancakes. I mean, it was just, it was like a light snack, but we were all so hungover and we were like, yes, like shoving food in our face. Like it was amazing. It was amazing.
Hysterical.
Yeah. Very, very Taurus of us. Very Taurus of us. Love the food.
Well, 110 jealous.
Yeah, it was great. I'm jealous of myself. I'm jealous of the memory. Okay. Well, speaking of Taurus, food and Christmas, I am going to firstly just quickly talk about a little Christmas. I was researching like all the traditional Christmas foods, and there are some really fun stories. If anyone wants to go down that vortex, I can post the site that I was reading them. But I was like, if I go into all these, it's going to be a whole, this is going to be a 3-hour episode. But the one that I found the funniest before I get into my main story was, I've never heard of this, but apparently it's a thing. The Christmas pickle. Have you ever heard of the Christmas pickle?
Are you kidding? I was actually going to talk about it on one of the episodes. We do that at my godparents' house every year.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you do the ornaments and stuff?
Yeah. It's a shiny, metallic, a green pickle. And it is like a hugely competitive thing that we do each year. And it's been broken a couple times and had to be replaced. And then that person was shamed into the ground by the family. They're like, things
pickle
that ruin
shame.
Christmas.
How dare
they'd
you?
Sing that.
Instead of how dare you?
No, they'd sing that when you walked in the room. They would go, things that ruin Christmas. And they'd mock you for breaking the pickle. Yes. And then we'd joke about it like, well, Tiffany ruined Christmas again. I was like, no. Or whoever it was. I'm just using my own name. But yeah, big thing. We do it every year. And it's very aggressive back and forth.
Okay, so that's wild. I've never heard of or participated in a Christmas pickling. But yes, so let's get into the Christmas pickle. I had never heard of it. It made me laugh my ass off because I was like, Christmas pickle? Like Rick and Morty? Pickle Rick! Just made me laugh a lot.
Pickle
Do you watch that show?
Yes, I'm watching the new season right now.
Oh God, it's so good. It's one of my absolute favorites. I love it so much. So the Christmas pickle which apparently is a prolific thing that I just haven't heard of, started in the 1880s when Woolworth started selling glass ornaments from Germany. And a lot of the German ornaments were like fruits and vegetables because
yes.
I don't know. I guess that's what they do in Germany. Let me desecrate another culture.
We will not be slandering Germany. German. Their Christmas cookie game is unparalleled.
Well, I didn't know that. What makes it unparalleled?
We cannot get into it. It will be 10 minutes of me talking.
Okay. But fair enough.
Quick reference, Pfeffernuss. That's all I'm going to say. I will bring it up later. Bye.
Go. Phenomenal. Okay. So I guess this Christmas pickle situation was a very old German tradition. When the pickle was the last ornament, it was hidden, and the first kid to find the Christmas pickle got an extra present. Was that the way it worked with you?
No, you got to open one of your presents first. You didn't get an extra one. We actually have a different tradition in game we do to get an extra present.
Okay. Got it. So this all was very intriguing to me, but my favorite part was there is some more lore about the Christmas pickle. And it is that on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, I can't remember which one, there was a fighter mm-hmm. in the American Civil War who was imprisoned and like impoverished, like on his last legs, like about to die. And he begged the guard for a pickle. He was like, if I'm gonna die, I can hear your wine just jug. And I love it.
I'm just drinking my answer from the bottle. Don't let them know I'm pouring out of a box. I hate you so much.
I love it. Hey, I'm drinking from a bottle. And it's Vino Verde for $4.75 from Trader Joe's. So no shame, girl. No shame in your game.
Box it up. I got Card Bordeaux from Trader Joe's also.
Card Bordeaux. I love it.
I'm Poe.
I'm Poe too. I got the $4.75 summer special in the dead of winter. But it tastes good. It's cheap and cheerful. It's better than my boiled / frozen wine that I was drinking yesterday. Yeah, that was a rough one for me. So he's like imprisoned on death's door. He hasn't been fed. You know, he's really, really sick. Like the dude's dying. So he begs the guard for a pickle, which is not necessarily what I think I would beg for if I was like, I'm dying. But he did. And the guard, the guard, I guess,
he was acquiesced. Like,
right, dude, you're dying. He did. He acquiesced. He gave him the pickle pardon. He said, all right, okay, I will grant you this one pickle.
Pickle pardon.
So we gave him a pickle. Yeah, pickle pardon. Little double P. Gave him the pickle, and this pickle, this Christmas pickle, I guess, you know, endowed with the spirit of Christmas and Kris Kringle or whatever, gave him, and this is an exact quote, this is what really sent me flying, gave him the mental and physical strength to live on as a Christmas miracle. So after that, like down in the South, it was like, oh, the pickle, the Christmas pickle will like give you life, which
you'll is be unfortunate imbued for with me. Life?
No, it's just a joke. I mean, but it became like a thing in the South, I guess, with this Christmas pickle. Hilarious. Which really, yeah, it is. But it's really unfortunate for me because I hate pickles. I mean, if I was like on death's door and it was like pickle or die, I think I would pick the pickle, but I wouldn't be happy about it. I don't think it would give me the mental and physical strength to live on. It might push me over the edge to die, actually. Okay, so that was the one that made me laugh the most, but there are tons of them, and they're all funny. So the lion's share of my story is KFC is a Christmas tradition in Japan. Yes, and this is about to get a little unhinged. I'm going to go over this quickly. You'll see. So KFC is a huge thing in Japan. It started back kind of the seed of it was after World War II when Japan was rebuilding its economy and started to become more abundant, started to have more funds, was things were really picking up, they really wanted to hone in on all of these Western things to kind of be like, you know, hey, look, we're flourishing. So all of these fast food places started opening up in Japan. So it became a major tradition when they started doing advertising, and the advertising head honcho, who was quite smart, was like, well, Christmas isn't really a huge tradition here. It's kind of a non-secular thing. There's not like a ton of Christians in Japan, but he was like, there's a huge market to make money. And there's this push to kind of Americanize, Westernize the world. So he was like, all right, well, what's close to chicken, or excuse me, to turkey? Chicken, right? So why can't we make like fried chicken a thing?
Hell yeah. Yeah.
But he did. He pulled.
I'm here.
Hell
for
yeah.
Right? Hell yeah.
Meat. Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. He pulled it. He pulled it off. So he started, to have like these like KFC, like Colonel Sanders statues put up that were like dressed like Santa. They spent a ton of advertising money. And all of a sudden it took on as this kind of cultural thing. So now it is so huge there that in 2000, and I think it was 19, from December 20th, I think 1st to the 25th, they made like $63 million in sales, which is 10 times their normal sales. Yeah. And it is such a tradition, and it became kind of like a status symbol. And in Japanese culture, they're very much about like the family dining, everyone sitting together, sharing. So like the KFC bucket was like the perfect thing.
The perfect gift.
It was. It really was.
Honey, so, I got you a 12 piece.
Yeah. I mean, I think maybe I should move to Japan. That's the culture I need.
Immediate swoon.
And also, this is also really hilarious. So the guy's name was Takashi Okawara. He managed the first country's KFC, and he falsely, so in this first like marketing push, he falsely marketed fried chicken as the traditional American Christmas food. he was like, this is what they do over there. This is gonna.
It's fine. I'm
here for it.
Go for it. Yeah, it's fine. Yeah, no big deal.
I'm totally here for it. And now it is such a thing that like if your family has the audacity not to pre-order, you have to pre-order your KFC bucket. Like, good luck. You're not getting that KFC. Everybody in Japan goes and gets like the full KFC dinner, and there's like still statues all over the place. It is literally their Christmas tradition, yeah, which is just, I think I should move to Japan because,
let's leave. Let's go.
That is so amazing to me. Yeah. So, okay. So the weird little tangent from this, though, it's not completely Christmas, but it does directly come back to this, is in December of 2020, Lifetime Channel. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I'm about to talk about? Please
no,
tell me you don't.
I don't.
Okay.
Is it about the chicken?
Lifetime Channel. Oh, it's about the chicken, my friend.
Oh my God. Yes. It is about the chicken. Go. Tell me now.
And as I said, like sensual Taurus. Lifetime Channel, in conjunction with KFC, released a short film branded as a quote unquote mini movie called A Recipe for Seduction. Mm-hmm. And it is a love story starring Mario Lopez from Saved by the Bell as
– Stop it.
Oh, no, wait. Yeah. Nope. As a young Colonel Sanders.
You're fucking lying.
And it – no, I'm not. That's why I'm so glad you haven't heard of this. I'm so glad you haven't heard of this. So real quickly, I cannot believe I haven't seen this film. This is –
I saw – No. I saw this is so real. A fucking like – Christmas. I saw a poster for this, I think, on like Reddit, and I just thought it was some hilarious bullshit from the internet
meme or something. No, it's real. It's real, baby.
Oh God.
I know. So when this first came out, I actually the advertising agency that did it, because like the second I saw it, I was like, "What is this real? I gotta look."
Literally,
this
what is this
the advertising? Yeah, the advertising agency that was doing it. Was actually the agency that a guy that I had dated worked at, and I hadn't talked to him in like 8 or 9 years.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. And it was like, he actually, I don't want this to go on too long, but this is a funny story. He was a lot younger than I was when I first started dating him. And it was right after I got on my 5-year relationship, and he was like a really nice guy. We went on like 8 or 9 dates. But like, he never made any moves on me. And I was like, what is going on? Why isn't this guy making a move on me? And then when I finally was like, what's going on? He was like, I'm a virgin. I was like, oh, okay. And he was like 20, I don't know, 23, whatever. Yeah. So then finally one day, like, he came home with me and we like started making out, and he literally ran out of my bedroom and was like, you terrify me. That's the last time I ever talked to him.
What?
Making out. And I guess, I don't know. Yeah. I mean, he was a really, really nice guy.
Ran from your room and never called you again?
Ran. Well, he was like, you terrify me. Cause I think I like unbuttoned a button on a shirt, and he was like, I can't do this. You terrify me. And ran out. Yeah. Yeah. And I never heard from him again. So this is like 8 or 9 years later. And I think, you know, I texted him. I didn't like keep texting him, but I like genuinely like this guy. So I texted him, you know, I didn't get a response. And then I was like, all right, I guess moving on with my life. But I still had his number in my phone. And when I saw this in 2020, because he worked for Weil and Kennedy, which is the ad agency that did this, I was like, I got to get to the bottom of this. I don't care. I'm texting this dude. And I texted him and was like, hey, I don't know if you remember me, but do you still work at Weil and Kennedy? I need the inside deets on this movie. And he responded back and was like, oh, hey, no, I don't work there anymore. Wish I could help you out. And that was like it. But it was just funny because I was like, I am willing to reach out. Yeah, stay away from me.
My virginity is sacred.
Get away from me. No, he's married now. He's married. But yay! Okay, anyway. So I never – yeah, and he's a really nice guy. I wish him the best. I love it for him too. He's a really nice guy. I wish he knew the insider details of A Recipe for Seduction. Mm-hmm. But so – clearly somehow this got out of my mind and I did not make the effort to actually watch this, nor did I this time either, but I will. But I want to do this as like a little Christmas bedtime story. I am going to read you the plot directly from Wikipedia, are you ready for this? Are you ready for this roller coaster?
I am not ready because I'm going to say spoilers ahead if you don't want to know about this movie. Time to go. Rate us.
A Recipe for Seduction. Yep. And I will definitely post the movie poster on the site.
Oh, because I've seen that.
It's amazing.
It's fucking hilarious.
Yeah, it's Mario Lopez with like fake gray dye in his hair with like a cut off t-shirt with like his like jacked arms of like the Colonel Sanders white thing, but it's like a short sleeve thing with the Colonel Sanders bow tie. And then whoever the girl is, like, she's like in this red dress and she's like looking very sexy. I mean, it is, honest to God, this whole thing is like
this probably is the best thing that's ever happened
in my dreams.
Yeah.
Ever. I'm so glad you didn't know about this. Okay. This is, see, now
well,
do you understand?
I did,
what I didn't want to tell you.
I didn't. I did, but I didn't.
Yeah.
I thought it was a meme.
Okay. So are we, yeah, I did too, but my Virgo instincts told me to investigate further and it is not. So all of our listeners and Tiffany, are you ready for a little bedtime Christmas story?
Yeah.
Perhaps A Recipe for Seduction?
Oh, yes.
Okay, great. Let me tell you, straight from Wikipedia, this is just a dramatic reading. Okay.
All right.
A Recipe for Seduction. Okay, great. At a dinner party featuring fried chicken at the lavish Mancera house, Billy Giribaldi III proposes to Jessica Mancera. I know. She is taken aback and she says she will, quote unquote, think about it, angering her mother, Bunny. The next day, Bunny confronts Jessica, explaining that her marrying Billy is the only way to solve the family's financial woes. They could have just gotten, you know, St. Nick to give him some gold in their stockings.
But, shake it next to your stockings.
They're interrupted. 100%. Come on. You work smart, not hard. They are interrupted by their new live-in chef, a fictionalized Harlan Sanders. Harlan and Jessica are immediately smitten. Oh, yeah. Smitten with each other. Jessica later offers Harlan a tour of the grounds, and they quickly share their life stories. Harlan mentions a secret fried chicken recipe that he envisions changing the world when an angry Billy interrupts and makes a thinly veiled threat towards Jessica. I know. The plot and the batter for the chicken thicken. That's just me adding it. That's on Wikipedia. Okay. So later, Jessica's friend Lee prepares for a date at the country club while Jessica reveals that she is falling in love with Harland by phone, which I love. They've had like one conversation. He's like, yeah, I got this chicken recipe. And she's like, I'm in love. Yeah, I know. I can't wait to actually watch this.
She knows a good recipe when she hears one.
Yeah, she knows a good drumstick when she sees one. While Jessica is showering, it is revealed that Bunny, her mother, was listening in on the phone conversation. Oh. Bunny, posing as Jessica, texts Billy on Jessica's phone, I know, and tells him to meet her at the country club, which is coincidentally the same club Lee is on the date at. When they meet, Bunny tells Billy about – oh, yeah, it's getting intense now – tells Billy about Harlan's secret recipe. Billy scoffs, and then it is revealed that Bunny and Billy had an affair and that they have feelings for one another.
Ew.
Like, I know, right? So gross. You know, this is kind of like the dowry. This is kind of like a continuation of the – she's trying to save the family money. Lee sees the two at the meeting and tells Jessica to call her right away. Yeah, no shit. But Jessica does not have her phone with her. Later at the house, Billy searches furiously for Harlan's secret recipe in the kitchen, finding it in Harlan's bag. Harlan walks in and Billy offers Harlan a $500,000 check to leave town and cut off contact with Jessica. Harlan turns down the offer, but Billy reveals that he knows Harlan's secret recipe. Uh-oh. Billy lies to Harlan, telling him that Jessica said yes to his proposal, resulting in Harlan going off to talk to Jessica. In another part of the house, Lee, looking for Jessica, confronts Bunny about her meeting with Billy. Before Lee can reach Jessica, Bunny knocks him out with a broom. Boom. Jeez.
Okay, La Bufana.
I know, La Bufana. Yeah, exactly. It all comes full circle. Elsewhere, Harlan talks to Jessica, upset that she supposedly chose to marry Billy and also that she revealed the existence of the secret recipe. Oh. He gives her Billy's check and wishes her the best. Jessica tells Harlan that she never agreed to marry and confesses her love for him, and they kiss. Again, I need to watch the movie, but is this all based on one conversation about his secret chicken recipe? I hope so. I really hope so. Bunny sees them through the window, telling Billy over the phone that they, quote unquote, have a problem. The next day, Jessica tells Bunny that she is in love with Harland and is turning down Billy's engagement. Yes, love saves the day. Bunny tells her that Harland left in the middle of the night, which is revealed not to be true. Jessica checks the kitchen and finds his belongings have disappeared. The chef's knives are gone. While walking forlornly around the grounds, Jessica hears muffled screaming coming from a storage room. Inside, she finds Harlan gagged and tied to a chair. As she approaches, Billy steps out of the shadows, brandishing a knife, revealing that he is planning to kill Harlan. Bunny rushes in, but to Jessica's horror, she reveals she is part of the scheme and tells Billy to kill Harland at once. Harland headbutts Billy, and while Jessica and Bunny look on in shock, Lee, I know, this is a tour de force, who has been hiding in the room, knocks Billy out. Bunny is consumed with rage and tries to attack Harland, but she is pushed aside and knocked out by Jessica. 1 year later, Jessica and Harlan are being wed with Lee. Yeah. I know. I guess just fade to black. Meanwhile, Bunny appears to be confined in a health and wellness center. She is told she has a visitor by a worker. It is Billy, who says he has found quote-unquote them, referring to Harlan and Jessica. He then eats a piece of fried chicken, ending the film on a cliffhanger.
Are we going to get a part two?
I don't know. I don't know, and I really hope so. Also, like,
we need to watch this together because I still haven't watched it.
Yeah.
But here is one of my favorite parts too. The film has a 70% score on Rotten Tomatoes, indicating positive reviews. No, I know. But I mean, I 100%. I mean, it is kind of amazing because underneath it, it says many critics noted the juxtaposition between the film's bizarre premise and its familiar use of tropes associated with Hallmark movies, which I'm going to get into in a later episode. Yeah. But
the self-awareness, I totally get it.
Yeah, it's a tongue-in-cheek take on the Lifetime romance genre. Right. And then it says, aimed at women who love men who love chicken. Me. I'm one of them.
I was like, so but, me?
Yeah. But so I actually didn't research whether the sequel came out. I don't think it did because I think it would – yeah, it would mention it on here. Well, but it is 2 years later and so. Okay, all I know is that I need it. I need the sequel to actually happen. Isn't that amazing? Like, I just
– yeah.
Yeah, it is the true Christmas miracle for me that this movie is actually real and was made. So it's a Taurus love story if I've ever heard one.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I mean, I'm always going to love something ridiculous. So, okay, so I want to wrap this up.
Oh, me too.
So that we can keep this kind of like neat, clean, fresh. But I'm just going to shoot my little other topic over to another episode and not tell you what it is, because what I am going to tell you is my family.
It's your secret recipe.
Nah, you ain't getting that. But you are going to get our family Christmas game, and I'm going to make it really quick, and I'm a little upset that I have to now divulge this because I have a leg up on everyone every year. I am usually the person who crushes everyone because they forget about it, and I do not. And I'm going to give away why I don't. And it's because I have calendar updates that let me know to prepare and get ready. Okay. Oh, so here's the game. It's called Christmas Eve Gift. My mother, before she passed away, was the champion. She won every year or pretty close to it.
Oh, love her.
So here's the rules. You've got to call the other party. They answer, and the first person to say and the other person hear Christmas Eve Gift wins/loses. So if you say it and I hear it, too late. You have one Christmas Eve gift, which means I have to give you a Christmas Eve gift. So you get an extra gift that is not part of any of the other gifts you got. I am so good at this game. My sister Luann, who listens to the show and is now going to be very prepared for this year's trial.
Yeah.
Just has started buying extra gifts in anticipation of me getting her. So,
oh my God, I love it.
My mom used to be the best at this game, and she introduced my godparents. We actually met. I met my godparents when I was in my early teens. So preteen, perfect preteen years, 12, 13. Came to know and love each other. We melded our families. We melded our hearts. They are my... They're the best.
You're melting my heart right now.
No, I love them so very, very much. They are my daughter's grandparents. You know me. I'm very serious.
I know. I'm so emo.
No,
I'm like tearing up.
But they are now part of the game. I'm so emo. They are part of the game too. So I have to worry about them. I've got to worry about, you know, my sisters who are their blood daughters, Joanna and Ashley. I've got to worry about my cousins. I've got to worry about my sister, Luann, who is my sister. It's a lot. So I'm worried that people are going to listen to the episode and I'm going to lose my leg up because I actually set alarms that go off. And then each year I calculate my checks for each person. So.
Wow. This is such a selfless act of you to divulge this. This is really it's a Christmas miracle.
Well, whoever is not prepared for this year, I'll know wasn't listening to the episodes and they're going to get yelled at on Christmas Day.
Boom. There you go. Oh my God,
it's the
perfect trap.
Hold on. I'm going to throw down the gauntlet right now. If my family that plays this game with me hears this and they get me with Christmas Eve gift and say, I heard the episode, I have to give them two gifts now. But if I win, I only get one. Yep. I play by the same rules. But if you've heard the episode and you tell me, I will get you two.
Queen.
Gauntlet is thrown.
Yes.
It is thrown, and I'm so into it. It's American Gladiators, Tiffany's Christian, not Christian. Well, maybe Christian. Christmas version. I love it.
Christmas Christian tradition, I guess. Even though it has nothing to do with Christianity and everything to do with winning. So let's wrap
also,
it up.
Also, sorry, just my life in there.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Yeah. But this little like plan of yours, that this spur of the moment plan, very Scorpio. Very, very Scorpio. I'm going to hide this Easter egg in our episode and then I'll find out. Then I'll know who's listening.
I will.
Oh my God. It's so Scorpio and it's
high
so
risk,
awesome.
High reward. Yes, let's go. Queen.
High risk, high reward. I live my life by that principle. Yes.
Say goodbye, hi, hi to the people, Kate.
Hi, hi, hi. Hello, hello, ho. Goodbye, bye, bye. See you guys for day three next time.
Next time. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.